edition of the John Kirkland Show. I'm your host, John Kirkland. And we're about to get into a good half hour of the NBA. And it's been a great start so far. If you guys tuned in yesterday to the two games, the Nets and Warriors, Lakers and Clippers, we're going to break that down also. And then the whole slate of games that tipped off earlier today around 4 o'clock. But what I want to do is talk about yesterday's games. And let's start with the Brooklyn Nets and the Golden State Warriors. Now, the interesting thing to me that I find very interesting to me is, number one, how well the Brooklyn Nets played. You would think going into just game one, the first game of the season, your first thought would be chemistry. How well can Kyrie and Kevin Durant gel along with the rest of the team? Because again, arguably, this was a team that made the playoffs. They were a 7-seed team, and I believe they won 47, 48 games without KD and without Kyrie Irving. So you wanted to see how well they would gel. And let's look at statistics right now, and let's start with Brooklyn. KD, first of all, let me add the stat real quick for all the listeners. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, they did not play in the fourth quarter. However, I did like Steve Nash, some of his coaching. He was very strategic, and I liked the way he utilized the bench. They seemed very deep. They seem on cue. I love some of the passing that they, some of the passes that they made, so on and so forth. Kevin Durant played 25 minutes, went 7 of 16, 1 of 2 from the three-point line, 7 of 7 from free throw. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals for 22 points. And let's talk about that. For me, when I think about those stats, one thing comes to mind. That's the old KD. If not more. I anticipate Kevin Durant averaging about 30-something points a game, anywhere between 8 to 10 boards a game, because he has the ability to be able to do that. I believe Kyrie Irving, he could be a guy that is a 20 and 10 guy every night in terms of assists. He's a hell of a point guard. There's just no doubt about it. I don't think people like his antics or his comments or maybe some of the things that doesn't pertain to basketball. But I do, you got to admit that his game is phenomenal, and it just, it'll blow you away. I mean, the crossover, the give and go, being able to go to the basket, being able to move without the ball. He just does so many different things. But going back to Kevin Durant at 6'7", how do you guard a guy that's 6'10"? How do you do it? I know I said 6'7", but I meant 6'10". How do you guard a guy at the perimeter, top of the key? How do you guard a guy 6'10"? How do you guard Kevin Durant with a jumper? I've watched Kevin Durant for many years, and defensively, how can you stop Kevin Durant? You can't. The only thing I think realistically you can do to Kevin Durant is bother his shot, which is why he went 7 of 16. Now, let's say you don't bother his shot and he catches fire. Does he go 12 of 16, 13 of 16? Is that a possibility, or is that far-fetched? But defensively, I think if you bother his shot, that's the best your defense you're going to see against a guy who's capable of scoring 30, 40 points in Kevin Durant. Now, going to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving had 25 minutes. He played 10 of 16, 4 of 7 from 3. He shot well there. He had 4 assists, 4 rebounds for 26 points. Dinwiddie had 20 minutes, 2 of 6, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Didn't shoot well from the 3. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists for 9 points. And then also Joe Harris, 21 minutes, 4 of 8 shooting, shot well. He had 7 rebounds, which is great, and 10 points. So out of the five starters that I just named, you look at Joe Harris got an $80 million or $85 million extension. So what that tells me is that not only do they believe he can start, but they believe that he can contribute to this basketball team. I haven't even got to the bench yet. And as I get into the bench, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want to talk about Joe Harris and the money that he's getting and the production. This is just game one. But for him, we've seen some great, great games he had last year with the Nets. And this is, again, without Kyrie and without Kevin Durant. If you look at Prince, Taurean Prince, 16 minutes, 1 point. They got to get more from him. I think he's going to be the key in terms of the sixth man and everything else coming off the bench. I do believe DeAndre Jordan. He was one of the other starters. DeAndre Jordan had 17 minutes, really didn't play as many minutes as I thought he would. He played 17 minutes, 11 rebounds, 4 points. He had 9 offensive rebounds. Nine. And I think that's the difference in the offense that Steve Nash is going to run in terms of the high pace. You know, you take the ball off the rim and you go the other way. You got to be able to run with the Nets. I think that's their offense, and I think that's what's going to make them effective. Because what happens is that if Durant don't have the shot, he's kicking it to Kyrie. If Kyrie don't have the shot, he's hitting it to Dwindle. And if Dwindle don't have it, you have Joe Harris, who can knock down threes, as we've seen before. He can knock down the perimeter shots as well. So I think they got a really good five that really can contribute. But I like DeAndre Jordan, always have. I love his rebounding. I also want to talk about Jared Allen. Jared Allen had 20 minutes. He went 2 of 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. He had 4 defensive rebounds, 7 total for 8 points. And then LeVert was amazing off the bench, ladies and gentlemen. When I saw the game, LeVert played 25 minutes. He shot 6 of 17, 3 of 5 from the 3-point line. He had 8 defensive rebounds for 9, and he had a total of 9 rebounds for 20 points. That's a bad man. And I was talking to somebody a month ago about this, about the bench. I talked about how well the Nets could be. Because when you think about Kyrie Irving and you think about Kevin Durant, you think about, okay, well, if you add those two, how good can the Nets really be? How good could they be? And I don't think Golden State really understood the magnitude of how good the Nets were. I seen it. Because if you look at what they had in terms of the roster last year, making the playoffs 47 games with just that roster, no KD, no Kyrie Irving, well, then you add, you know, Irving, you add Durant, what do you get? Who knows? Are they the top seed? Right now, they look like the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. And yes, I'm saying that as of game one. A lot can change between now and 71 games later. But I'm saying as of right now, because that's all we have to go by. As of right now, they look like the best team in the Eastern Conference. Now, let's get back to the Warriors. Now, when I walked into work this morning, I was asked that question. What was my assessment on the Golden State Warriors? And number one, let's start with Stephen Curry. Arguably the best shooter in terms of at the point guard position, the best shooter we have ever seen in this game today. The best shooter, no doubt about it. Stephen Curry, 30 minutes. 7 of 21, 2 of 10 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 20 points. That's okay for Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry's not a rebounder. But guess what? Stephen Curry passes the ball. Stephen Curry's known for assist anyway. He's known for his scoring. And 2 of 10, that's okay. Why? It's his first game. Why? We know what Stephen Curry can do. We don't need to have the conversation about Stephen Curry and how he had a bad game or he didn't shoot the three very well. He knows that. I know that. And guess what? Stephen Curry is still the man from 3-point line. The guy can shoot. It's ridiculous. The step back, the off-balance shots, his footwork is crazy. having the IQ of getting to the basket, moving without the ball. It's just ridiculous. Just watching this guy is I don't know. Sometimes when I go back and I think about when he was drafted by the Warriors and all the teams above the Warriors who could have drafted Stephen Curry, I bet you they're thinking, wow, we should have drafted Stephen Curry. James Wiseman. Now, when I go to work, I hear Warrior fans, because I have Warrior fans on my job, and they talk about James Wiseman. They said he was worthy of the number two pick and all of that. In my personal opinion, I don't think so. I think a college kid who's only played three games, no preseason, no nothing. I'm still against it. I just don't think his game translates to the NBA right now. Now, however, I will say this. He played 24 minutes, 7 of 13. He shot well. 4 of 8 from free throw line. He had 6 rebounds for 19 points. He had 5 defensive rebounds. Not bad. I will say that. All Warrior fans, if you're listening, I will say not bad. However, what I saw against the Nets, number one, he has to be more aggressive. He has to be able to get up under the basket and get in position. He is afraid to rebound from what I saw. He's 7'2". He should be cleaning the glass. I think if James Wiseman can clean the glass, I think we're talking about a different beast here. Do I see potential? Sure. Do I think that he could be one of the best centers in the league? Sure. But the difference right now is that it's not a big man's game. It's not a big man's game. So then you say, well, how did he do in 24 minutes? Well, he had 19 points for 24 minutes. Not bad. Not bad. I'm not dogging the man. What I'm simply saying is that James Wiseman has to do better under the basket. Because what happens is when he's aggressive under the basket, it creates more possessions for Golden State to score against the teams like the Lakers, against the teams like the Nets. It gives them more opportunities to score. And then when you think about it, you got Draymond Green coming back. So I think he's going to be better because of Draymond Green. Draymond Green's going to force him to be aggressive under the basket. He's going to force him to block shots. He's going to force him to play defense. That's just the way Draymond Green is. Draymond Green is tough. Am I a fan of Draymond Green? No. But I respect his game. I know what the man can do on the court. Defensively. Is he a scorer? No. Can he shoot the three? Here and there. But Draymond Green can defend. He can defend. And right now, that's what the Warriors need. Andrew Wiggins, 31 minutes, 4 of 16. He had 2 of 6 from the 3. He had 13 points. Now, I keep hearing about, that's another one, about Andrew Wiggins. You know, Andrew Wiggins, this is his first game. You're too hard on him, John. It's his first game. My issue is this. You're making, what, $100 million? $100 million to play on the former champions of basketball. I don't understand. You're filling the shoes of another top great shooter in Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson wouldn't have gave me no 13 points. I've seen on Klay Thompson's bad night, he still had 20 points. I've seen another bad night for Klay Thompson. He had 15, 14. So the answer is this. My point is this. If the Warriors want to be an 8th seed or a 7th seed, the Warriors have to play more aggressive. They need Wiggins to show up, they need Kelly Oubre to show up, and they need James Wiseman to show up. Draymond Green is going to be there. I'm not worried about Draymond, but I am worried about Wiseman, Oubre, and Wiggins. They have to show up. Now, let's look at the bench. Kevon Looney, 11 minutes, didn't play very, very much. He had 2 rebounds for 4 points. Chris played 12 minutes, shot 4 of 10. He had 8 rebounds for 9 points. He had 5 defensive rebounds off the bench. I thought Chris was going to start, to be honest with you. But obviously I was wrong. The bench, Mulder, Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole played 18 minutes, 1 of 4. He had 2 points. They have to get more from Jordan Poole coming off the bench. They got to get more from him. They got to get more from Kent Bazemore. 12 minutes, he had 2 points. And in 12 minutes, that can't happen. It can't happen. And I'm talking about, again, if the Warriors want to be a 7th or 8th seed, these numbers have to be better. They got to get more from the bench. Granted, this is only game 1. So the Golden State Warriors lost their first game on Thursday night. On Tuesday night, 99-125 on the road to Brooklyn. Now, let's get to the Clippers and the Lakers. The Lakers lost 116-109, and let's start with the Clippers. Ibaka played 21 minutes, 5 of 7, 2 of 3 from 3-point line. He had 6 rebounds, 4 defensive rebounds, and he also had 15 points. He played great. He played great. I'm very impressed with Ibaka. He played huge. Huge. And I knew once the Clippers have signed him, in the sense that they lost Harold to the Lakers, I knew Ibaka was going to be a very, very good player for them. What a great replacement. Nicholas Batum, 28 minutes, 1 of 4. He hit a big shot in the game, which was his only points, but he had 5 defensive rebounds. He had 6 rebounds total, 6 assists for 3 points. He gave them, he was able to give them something defensively. He was able to create 6 possessions because of his defensive rebounds. And then also, you're looking at Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard went 10 of 26, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line. He didn't shoot very well from the 3-point line, but he had 26 points. Patrick Beverley went 4 of 9, 2 of 5 from the 3. He had 6 rebounds, 10 points. Paul George, big night, 13 of 18, 5 of 8 from the 3-point line. He had 6 defensive rebounds, 6 total rebounds, and he had 33 points. Not bad. Now, the Clippers didn't get much from their bench, which I think is going to be the key when they go into the playoffs. So two things have to happen for the Clippers, for them to go back to being the hype of being one of the dangerous teams in the Western Conference. And I think what's going to happen is they have to get something from Zubac. They have to get something from Reggie Jackson, Lou Williams, Luke Kennard, who just signed a big-time extension. They got to get something from those players coming off the bench. So when you look at Kennard's playing 21 minutes, Lou Williams playing 26, Zubac is playing 27. So these guys are getting significant playing time off the bench. They got to get some production from Zubac and the rest of the bench. If they can get that, by far, Clippers will be dangerous and arguably will be the number 2 seed, if not number 1, if they can play that well. But that's what I was talking about, chemistry. Chemistry is important. You have to have chemistry. Why? Because these are the things that we're talking about. Either your starting 5 is going to play well or your bench is going to play well, but you can't have it that way. They have to both play well to win. But shout out to Paul George. I want to give him a shout out. I want to give him some credit because he took a lot of scrutiny last year. He didn't show up in the playoffs. He knew he didn't. And for him to get off to a great start and prove to the fans, hey, I'm still Paul George. I can still play. I can still put up numbers. This was a great start for him. So shout out to him. And what a win for the Clippers. Now, going back to the Lakers, the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis, 31 minutes, 8 of 15. He did not make not one three-pointer. He went 0 of 2 for 18 points, but he did have 7 defensive rebounds and 7 total rebounds. Now, defensively, I didn't think Anthony Davis was all that aggressive, but I thought that he shot too many perimeter shots or too many perimeter attempts. So it really bothered me throughout the game because he shot too many perimeter shots. I was even talking about that this morning. I wasn't very happy with some of our shot attempts. I didn't think we got a lot of good looks. It bothered me with LeBron James doing the same thing. So I think the Lakers have to realize, hey, we're too big to be shooting. We need to go to the paint. Because once AD goes to the paint, no one's stopping him. They're going to put him on the free throw line every single time. So unless you're going to guard him on the outside, because I've seen Ibaka guard him on the outside. So what did that do for Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis literally had to use his athleticism to get around Ibaka for the jam. So these so what they're going to do to Anthony Davis, because he's a force down low, they're going to force him to go to the basket if they can contest the shot. You got to have somebody that can contest the shot. But also, Anthony Davis has to be on point. If Anthony Davis is not on point, then what happens is he starts struggling shooting. And at that point, when you start struggling shooting, you have to go to the paint to be aggressive for the Lakers. And I thought he didn't do that, and I felt that that's the reason why we lost. LeBron James, 28 minutes, 7 of 17, 3 of 8 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists for 22 points. I can't say I'm disappointed, but I can't say that I'm happy also with his performance, because I know LeBron James, the greatest player in the world, I know he could do better than that. And I think Laker fans know that as well. Mark Gasol, his first game as a Laker, he played 12 minutes. He had 0 points. We got to get more from him. Dennis Schroeder, shout out to Schroeder. He said he wanted to be the starting point guard, and he is. He had 20 minutes, 5 of 15, 2 of 5 from the 3. He had 12 rebounds, and he had 11 defensive rebounds. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have to think about this for a minute, for just 1 second. He's the point guard. He had 11 defensive rebounds. So what that means is he had more defensive rebounds than Anthony Davis. He had more defensive rebounds than Zubac. He had more defensive rebounds than Kawhi Leonard, who arguably is one of the best defenders in our league. He had more rebounds than Paul George, Nicholas Batum, and he had more defensive rebounds than Sergio Ibaka. Dennis Schroeder, ladies and gentlemen, you got to be kidding me. That's a great stat. But see, nobody wants to talk about those things. Again, remember I was saying at the top of my podcast is that the game has changed. It's not a big man's game anymore. Now everyone's getting rebounds. Point guards, shooting guards, everybody's getting rebounds. Caldwell Pope, big time extension. He had 23 points, 2 of 4 shooting, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. He had 9 points. We need more from Caldwell Pope. Caldwell Pope got to step it up. Come on now. And I'm a Lakers fan, so I'm going to really, really go hard on my team more than any other team. The bench. Mr. Morris had 19 minutes, 1 of 3 shooting. He had 4 rebounds for 5 points. Not bad. Montrezl Harrell, my man. He had 32 minutes, 6 of 7 shooting. He had 10 boards, 17 points. Now, the question becomes at this point, what are the Clippers thinking? Montrezl Harrell had a double-double. Now, mind you, no one had a double-double on the Clippers. Not one player was in double digits, and we still lost. We still lost. The only players on the Lakers that were in double digits were Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell. So I think the Lakers have to get more from their bench. Kyle Kuzma, 27 minutes, 6 of 11 for 15 points. That's what I'm talking about. So if we can get that consistency from Kyle Kuzma, we're going to be in great shape. Wesley Matthews, he played 11 minutes, 0 points. Caruso, 17 minutes, 3 points. Horton Tucker, 11 minutes, 6 points. We have to get more production from these guys. But again, that's why we lost. Opening night, world champions. We'll be ready, and we'll be ready to go on Friday night. Now, let's talk about some of the scores because the season did open up tonight. Wednesday did open up tonight. Here we go. Let's start with Charlotte and Cleveland. And here we go. Now, I want to say this. Congratulations to Terry Rozier. Shout out to Terry Rozier. I mean, he went off. He had 38 minutes, 15 of 23, 10 of 16 shooting from the three-point line. He had 42 points tonight. Also, Gordon Hayward signed that big old contract. He played 36 minutes, 11 of 18, 4 of 8 shooting from the three-point line. He had 7 assists for 28 points. I think he did the best that he could. But they lost by 7, 114, 121 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They lost the Cavaliers on the road. LaMelo Ball had 16 minutes. He didn't make a point, didn't make a basket. He had 3 assists, but he did play well defensively, but he had 3 turnovers. And I'll tell you exactly why the Charlotte Hornets lost. They lost for this reason. One, they had 15 turnovers. 15 turnovers as opposed to the 18 turnovers that the Cavaliers had. Not much of a difference in terms of turnovers, but they didn't get much from their bench at all. Their bench had about 22. So their bench scored a combined score of 24 points, and Gordon Hayward had more than the entire bench. That's not going to get it for Charlotte Hornets. They have to play better. They have to play more. They have to be more aggressive. And this is just the Cavaliers, an uncertainty basketball team. So let's start with the Cavaliers. Larry Nance Jr., 34 minutes, 5 of 9 shooting. He had 13 rebounds, 8 defensive boards. He had 3 steals, 2 blocks, 8 assists, 13 points. Hey, that's the most aggressive I've ever seen Larry Nance play since he's been in the league. Andre Drummond went 7 of 18. He had 11 defensive rebounds, 14 total overall rebounds. He had 14 points. He had a double-double there, and so did Larry Nance. Sexton had 37 minutes, 9 of 16, 3 of 4 from 3. He also had 27 points. Darius Garland, 33 minutes, 7 of 13. He shot really well, 4 of 8 from the 3. He has 6 defensive rebounds for a total of 6 rebounds. He had 6 assists, and he had 22 points. So they got a lot of production from their starting five, and I believe that was the difference for the Cavaliers. And if the Cavaliers can play like this, maybe we'll have a contender for the playoffs in terms of the top 8 in the East. This is a different Cavs team than what I saw last year. They might be something. Moving forward, Indiana has beaten the New York Knicks 121-107. In that game, the Knicks were on the road at Indiana tonight, falling short by 14 points to the Pacers. RJ Barrett, 11 of 15, he had 26 points tonight. And Obi Toppin, the top draft pick, he didn't shoot very well. He went 3 of 12, 3 of 7 from the three-point line, and he had 9 points. But coming off the bench was Burks. A. Burks had 32 minutes, 6 of 12 shooting. He had 22 points off the bench. And then you have for the Pacers, Sabonis went 11 of 18 shooting, 37 minutes. He had 13 rebounds, 9 defensive rebounds for 32 points. Miles Turner had 29 minutes, went 4 of 9 shooting. He had 8 rebounds, 7 defensive rebounds for 10 points. Brogdon went 8 of 16 for 35 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 5 defensive, 8 assists for 21 points. And Victor Oladipo went 9 of 14, 28 minutes. He had 22 points for the game. And I think, again, that was their difference. The starting five outplayed the entire Knicks team. And that was the difference, and that's why they won by 14 that's why they won by 14 at home. So the Pacers may be gelling. The Pacers may be one of the top 8 this year. It's game 1, hard to tell, but they're looking good right now. Also, we're going to look at Miami and Orlando. And unfortunately, the former Eastern Conference champions lose to the Orlando Magic, and Bam Adebayo went 11 of 16, 35 minutes. He had 8 defensive rebounds, 11 rebounds total. He had 25 points. Jimmy Butler, 36 minutes, 7 of 15. He had 19 points for the game. D. Robinson went 4 of 8, 30 minutes. He had 14 points. Tyler Hero, 6 of 14, 32 minutes. He had 6 rebounds for 13 points. Now, I want to talk about the starting five for the Miami Heat. To me, I like Tyler Hero's game. I think he's given them all he can give. Again, last year was, you know, a year was one of his breakout years. I like Harkness. They didn't get much from him. Jimmy Butler had a tough night. Bam Adebayo, same thing. He had 7 turnovers. Jimmy Butler had 6 turnovers. They combined, the two top stars and the starting five combined for 13 turnovers total for them. So they combined they had 22 turnovers, and the Heat, in the top two players on the Heat team in the starting five, had 13 of the 22. 13. Let me say this: the Heat had 22 turnovers total. Jimmy Butler and Bam both combined 13 of the 22 turnovers that the Heat had. That was the difference in the game. Aaron Gordon went 8 of 11. 25 minutes, 7 rebounds, 20 points. Vujicic had 34 minutes. He went 5 of 13. He shot well. He had 9 defensive rebounds for a total of 11 rebounds, 15 points. Fultz, 29 minutes, 6 of 15. He had 15 points. Foreigner had 31 minutes, 9 of 13, 26 points. So I really feel like that was a difference. 4 out of 5 starters on the Magic were in double figures in scoring. And I think that was a difference for the Orlando Magics. Like I said, the final, the Magics 113 and the Miami Heat 107. Now let's get to the Washington Wizards and the Philadelphia 76ers. Much anticipated game. Russell Westbrook with his new team. Russell Westbrook went 9 of 22. He had 15 assists. He had 11 rebounds. And he had 21 points. He had a triple-double in his debut as a Washington Wizard. Bradley Beal, we know what we got from Bradley Beal. He went 11 of 22, shot really well, 36 minutes. And he had 31 points as well. Dwight Howard, let's get to him for one quick second. I just want to get that one stat there. He had 13 minutes. He had 10 rebounds, 7 defensive for 4 points. Going back to the Washington Wizards, look okay. Between Bradley Beal and Westbrook, that's just a lot of scoring for them. But I think that they need more than just those guys. I think they need to get some veterans, some role players to help those guys out for Washington to even be talking about maybe an 8th or a 7th seed to be able to contend in the East. Tobias Harris, 31 minutes, 3 of 13. He had 8 rebounds for 10 points. Joel Embiid, 35 minutes, 10 of 17 shooting, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 12 defensive rebounds for a total of 14 rebounds for 29 points. Ben Simmons, he went 7 of 12, shot really well, 32 minutes. He had 8 defensive rebounds, 9 total rebounds for 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks for 16 points. He was all over the place. Danny Green, of course, he played his 18 minutes, went 1 of 6 for 2 points. That's the same stats that he was giving the Lakers. Seth Curry, he had 32 minutes, 4 of 8 for 13 points. Not bad. So, what was the difference in the game? The difference in the game for me was how well Philadelphia shot. Philadelphia shot 47% from the floor. I thought they shot poor three-pointers. They are not a very good three-point shooting team. They shot just 28% from the three-point line, and they still won. And the final of that game, the Philadelphia 76ers 113 and the Washington Wizards 107. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics were in a thriller. And the final score of that game, Boston 122, Milwaukee 121. And that was on a game winner by Jason Tatum. And let's start with them. Jason Tatum, 33 minutes, 12 of 28, 6 of 13 from the three-point line, shot tremendous. He had 7 defensive rebounds, 7 rebounds total, 2 steals, 1 block for 30 points. I don't think you could have played any better than that to beat a very tough Milwaukee team. Tristan Thompson in his debut, 22 minutes, 6 of 10. He had 8 rebounds for 12 points. Marcus Smart, 38 minutes. He shot 0 of 3, 0 of 2 from the three-point line, 0 of 3 from field goal. He had 3 points. And Jaylen Brown, 38 minutes, 13 of 24, another one who shot really well. He had 5 defensive rebounds, 5 rebounds total, 4 assists, 2 steals, 33 points. So again, Jaylen Brown, I mean, he's balling. Jaylen Brown is balling, and so is Tatum. They both combined, Jaylen Brown and Tatum combined for 63 of the Boston's 122 that they scored as a team. That's an interesting stat. So that's probably, what, half? Close to half of the scoring in that game. The Bucks, Giannis had 36 minutes, 13 of 26, 3 of 8 from the three-pointer. He had 11 defensive rebounds, 13 rebounds overall, 2 blocks for 35 points. He had a double-double tonight. Chris Middleton went 10 of 20, 38 minutes. He had 12 defensive rebounds. He had 14 rebounds for 27 points. Now, Chris Middleton had a double-double tonight. So, of course, if they can get that from Chris Middleton, I guarantee you the Bucks will be back in gear. They will be back ready to go. Brook Lopez, 29 minutes, 3 of 4. He had 7 points. And Drew Holiday, one of their top acquisitions. He had 38 minutes, 10 of 16, 6 rebounds for 25 points. And they still lost by 1. It was a thriller. What do I think about the game? Well, I'll tell you what I think about the game. You have to play to the whistle. You have to play till the buzzer defensively. And Jason Tatum hit the clutch shot, and it was over with. So congratulations to Boston tonight on a hell of a game and Jason Tatum. Next game, the New Orleans Pelicans beat Toronto 113-99. Atlanta 124-104 over the Chicago Bulls. San Antonio Spurs and Memphis Grizzlies had it out, but San Antonio looked in rare form. They put up 131 points to Memphis's 119. Detroit versus Minnesota. Minnesota got the win tonight, 111-101. And let's get into that game for a minute, because we're talking about the number one overall pick. And let's talk about how that man did tonight. The number one overall pick, Mr. Anthony Edwards, he shot 5 of 12, not bad, for 15 points for 25 minutes off the bench. Not bad. D. Russell, 33 minutes, 7 of 16, 4 of 11 from the three-point line. He had 18 points tonight. And let's talk about the starters here. Ricky Rubio, 25 minutes, 3 points. Mike Beasley went 10 of 18. He had 23 points. Carl Anthony Towns went 6 of 10, 60% shooting. He had 8 defensive rebounds for a total of 11 rebounds for 7 assists, 22 points. Okagi had 33 minutes, 4 of 9 for 12 points. And Culliver went 3 of 6. 21 minutes, 10 points. Now let's talk about Minnesota's victory. Minnesota got a lot of production off their bench. They were able to get guys, and they had three out of the five guys who came off the bench, all three of them were in double figures. That was the difference tonight for the for Minnesota. Minnesota had three out of the five starters who had double figures. So they had three out of the five in double figures as starters, and then three out of the five were in double figures off the bench. So incredible night for Minnesota. Blake Griffin, 35 minutes, 6 of 13, 7 rebounds for 15 points. Plumlee, 32 minutes, 7 of 8 for 14 points. Kay Hayes, they didn't get much from him, the point guard, Wright, and Grant, who signed for $60 million. He shot 4 of 11 for 9 points. I guess that's what you get for $60 million. And the final of that game again, the Minnesota Timberwolves won by 10, 101 to 111. And Sacramento Kings won in overtime, Buddy Hield hitting the game-winning shot. Sacramento wins in overtime against a very tough Denver Nuggets basketball team who arguably is the number three best team in the West. What a big win for Sacramento. 124-122 was the final in that game. And Sacramento did get it done, might I add, on the road. Utah versus Portland. Utah blew out Portland by 20, 120-100. And Dallas versus the Phoenix Suns. Dallas was in trouble tonight. Dallas lost to the Phoenix Suns, 106-102. It was a 4-point game. Wow. What a finish for the Phoenix Suns. And Phoenix Suns is not a bad basketball team. They really got a competitive basketball team now. This is not the same Phoenix Suns that you're just going to run over every single game. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're young, they're strong, and I think they can do it. But again, shout out to Phoenix Suns. They did well. Awesome. Awesome. Now, I want to get into the James Harden situation. And I've heard it all morning, whether it was the Stephen A. Smith show, whether it was First Take, whether it was ESPN, doesn't matter, all the outlets. What do I think about the James Harden situation? Let's start with the trade scenario. I hope that the organization, the Rockets, I'm talking about, I hope that the organization understands that you have a top five player on your team, which is James Harden, arguably. For me, what is it really about for James, and what is it really about for the Rockets? And I think that's the difference in the trade. Do you trade James Harden now? Is he doing everything he can to force a trade? Or is it the fact that he's under contract for a couple years, you guys are not in a hurry to trade James Harden because he wants out? Which one is it? So I think that they're in a dilemma right now in terms of James saying, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. Move me to a contender. Now, the question for me this morning was, where do you move James? Do you move James Harden to the Nets, or do you move James Harden to Philadelphia? To me, I think it's going to cost Philadelphia a lot more to get James Harden than it would for the Nets. I think that if you get James Harden to the Nets, so now you have DeAndre Jordan, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. If you have those guys, we are talking about going to the finals for sure, because no one's going to beat that lineup. Too much scoring, too much defense, too much everything. You're going to get all you need in a championship team with those guys. And the Nets have the assets. They have the draft picks. They have Jared Allen. They have Dwindle. They have everybody you need. Now, are they going to win with those guys? No. But in terms of compensation for the trade, that's the best you're going to get. In terms of getting some decent players back, that's the best you're going to get. You're not going to get anything better than that if you're talking about a contender. Because all the contenders, if you're talking about the Miami Heat, they have guys in place. And they're building from that point on. So it's like if you trade half the team for one player, how close are you really to the ring? You don't know, because now you ran into the Lakers, you ran into the Clippers, who are already established basketball teams that just added a few guys. I mean, at the end of the day, we don't even know how good the Clippers are. We don't even know how good the world champion Lakers really are now that they've added a few more players. So these next 71 games are going to be very interesting to see. However, the Rockets have their work cut out for them. They have their work cut out for them. They do. They have their work cut out for them. And I'll tell you something else. You have to trade him to the Nets if that's where he wants to go and get the most that you can get from the Nets and call it good. He doesn't want to be in Houston. Let him go. Because what you're risking is you're saying, I'd rather make James Harden suffer than get something for him. I don't like that at all. My take also on his fine, $50,000. He had strippers, and he said that he didn't have strippers in the strip club. They came to his home, blase, blase. Here's the thing. Why would you put it on Instagram when you understand the NBA policy? Should he be suspended? Yes. Should he be fined? Yes. Because if it was any other player, it would happen to them. I mean, they suspended Lou Williams for getting some chicken wings at a strip club. So, yeah. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So I disagree with the NBA's assessment. However, they fined him. I guess they felt it was good enough. So here we are. Now, is James Harden going to play against OKC once that game gets either rescheduled, or is he going to play their next game? Who knows? I would like to see that game. I would like to see Boogie Cousins. I would love to see John Wall, and I would like to see James Harden in that situation. How would that work out, at least for the foreseeable meantime, until he's traded or whatever the Houston Rockets decide to do with him? Now, real quick, I want all my listeners to understand this was my NBA special. The league just started yesterday, but we had a full slate of games today, and I just wanted to kind of touch on a few things that, you know, I felt from what I saw yesterday. And that's the purpose of, you know, me talking a lot about the NBA, because it was a lot of games. Going forward, I think if Golden State can figure it out, they have a chance. I think if Sacramento can continue to be competitive, can they make the playoffs? No. But they will show significant promise, and they can build something really special in Sacramento. Young, aggressive, competitive. They just might be able to do something. Buddy Buckets, Buddy Hield, I have him on my fantasy team. That man be baller. I like Buddy. He's the man. I want to let all my listeners know, Merry Christmas. And we have a full slate of games. If you don't already know, I will go over the times and stations for you. We have a jam-packed Friday for the NBA. Game one starts at 9 a.m. on ESPN. The Pelicans take on the Miami Heat. And that game can be seen on ESPN at 9 a.m. The next game will be those Golden State Warriors against the Milwaukee Bucks on the road. And that is going to be on ABC at 11:30 in the morning. The next game will be the Brooklyn Nets versus the Boston Celtics in Boston. That game is going to be 2 p.m. on ABC. And then the evening game, you will have two teams, the world champion Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks, who both lost their games opening day. Their tip-off will be at 5 p.m. on ABC. And then your nightcap will be those tough Clippers against the Denver Nuggets. That game kicks off on ESPN at 7:30. That will be your slate of games in terms of your Christmas. Real quick, Do you agree, and this is for the listeners that are listening to the John Kirkland Show as of right now, do you agree with Giannis signing the extension with Milwaukee, and did Milwaukee do enough to keep him? But if you're Giannis, did you or did you not think about some of the contenders? Did you not think about possibly joining up and teaming up and maybe winning a championship? Was Golden State ever an option? So many questions for so many answers. Here's my opinion. Do I think Giannis gives Golden State an opportunity to win another championship? Yes. But they would have to give up Klay Thompson for the money to work. He just signed a big time extension, 220 or something like that. And I do believe Giannis signed the extension for one reason. Or two reasons, rather. One, it's a big payday for him. Two, I think he respects the fact that the Bucks did everything they could to show that they're trying to contend for a championship. So I respect that. But if I was Giannis, what would I do? Simple. I'm winning a championship. I'm winning a championship. Now, do I take less money to do that? And is it that time in my career to take less money to win a championship? No, it's not. But I'm saying if I'm Giannis, I would do it. Because I want to win a championship. LeBron did it. He took less money, went to Miami, and won two championships. Two finals MVPs. But we are talking about the two-time league MVP right now. So, this is his payday. I believe that the Bucks have 5 years to try and win a championship. If they can't, Giannis is out of there. I can tell you that. I believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in next Wednesday for my show, John Kirkland, The John Kirkland Show. We're going to go over boxing. We're actually going to be talking about the fight coming up on the DAZN. Ryan Garcia, Luke Campbell, we're going to be dialing into that fight. I'll give you my predictions on who's going to win that fight. And just a slate of fights, talking about the slate of fights going through the year. And we're also going to talk about the NCAA bowls. You don't want to miss that. I have some interesting questions, debates, and I also have some things I don't understand that doesn't make sense from what I saw in terms of the top four teams being able to play for the college football championship. But you don't want to miss that. Tune in 11 p.m. Tune into the John Kirkland Show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Merry Christmas, and you guys be safe and have a blessed day. Tune in next Wednesday, the John Kirkland Show.